In reading is from Samuel chapter 16, starting at the first verse. Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesus and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. Anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah.
When I spoke to Shay on the phone about what we were looking at as David, King David, she said that she had also had been thinking about King David herself, and that's why we've crossed paths this morning, which is wonderful. Shay, do you want to join me? Shay's come from Bradford this morning, so not too far away, and she joins us having experience of speaking for compassion for some time now, and we've got three children in this congregation that are sponsored by Compassion, and so I'll hand over to you. Let me just pray for you. Lord, we pray for Shay and pray that you would give her the words that will challenge and comfort us in equal measure, that we might be blessed by your Holy Spirit this morning, we pray. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Good morning, church. I'm excited to be with you all this morning. And I want to say a very big thank you, Reverend Paul, for this opportunity. You know, it's such a joy to be part of what God is doing and through this church. This morning, I'm here to speak to you about compassion, and that's a ministry that is close to the heart of God. But before I go into that, let's just take a moment to reflect on our Bible reading, you know, from 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 13, and that's the story of David. David, you know, was a young shepherd boy who was overlooked by everyone except God. And, you know, while others looked at the outward appearance, God looked at the heart. David wasn't the strongest, it wasn't the most, you know, obvious choice, but God chose him to be the king. And that moment when Samuel anointed him, it was the start of a new chapter in the life of David. And that's what sponsorship and compassion is all about. You know, it's seeing the value in a child that has been overlooked by the world, by everyone, but not by God. And, you know, God says, or this is what he's saying, that I believe in you, you know, a child. I see that potential in you. And just as Samuel's obedience to God, it changed David's future entirely. So here at Compassion, it says Jesus leads and we move. For those who may not be familiar with Compassion, Compassion is a Christian child development ministries, and basically what we do is we exist to help release children from extreme poverty in Jesus' name. And everything we do at Compassion is based on three foundations, and the first being that we are Christ-centered, meaning Jesus is at the center of everything we do in Compassion, and we are church-driven. This, we partner with local churches in the countries, you know, where we are, because we believe that the church is the answer to a broken world. And the third one is that we are child-focused. I believe children, they are the most impacted, you know, by poverty, but yet they are the least that are able to change their circumstances. And Compassion focuses on, you know, equipping and empowering these children for a better future. Let me just talk briefly about Compassion. Compassion currently partners with local churches in 29 developing countries around the world. And through this ministry, many families, they've come to know the love of God. And when I say the love of God, I'm not just talking about true words, but true actions. And through practical support that we give them. These countries, these are places where there are no access to things like education, clean water, you know, healthcare isn't guaranteed. But through Compassion, these children, they have been given another chance to thrive. Now, church, you have faithfully been sponsoring three children from three different countries. And I just want to say a big thank you for that. Please, can we just take a moment to celebrate that, what God is doing? That's what God is doing through your generosity in the lives of these children. You're making a great impact, and I just want us to honor that. So we're going to walk through some slides. Media, can we have the presentation? Okay. The next slide. Can I really see from there? Okay. If I can't see, I'll just go through my iPad. So this is, you know, your generosity is making a life-changing difference. Just look at what your support has done in terms of hours of learning, nutritious meals, medical checkups, and the gift of God's words through Bible. That's incredible. The next slide, please. So, church, this slide shows your generosity in numbers. But behind every number, I want you to know that there's a story behind it. Your financial gifts have amounted to over £2,500, and you've also given three additional gifts directly to the children. You know, your giving is more than a number. It's your love in action, and it tells a child that you are being seen, you're valued, you matter. I just want to say thank you again for a miracle in the life of a child. The next slide. So your letters. This is one of the most powerful parts of sponsorship, is the relationship that grows through letter writing. These numbers show the beautiful conversations that is happening. Your word brings joy and encouragement and hope to these children. So, the next slide, please. These are the beautiful faces of the children that you currently sponsor. These are real lives. These are real stories, you know. And each one now has access to education. They have access to healthcare. They have access to the love of Jesus because of you. And that means your support is reaching them at such a foundational stage of their life, and it helps them shape their future and planting seeds of hope for them. So this, the next slide. These are the countries. You know, this slide reminds me that the impact of generosity, it goes far and wide. So this is beyond the United Kingdom now. Your church is currently sponsoring these children, and this is spread across these three countries. Isn't that amazing? If you look at from Latin America to East and, you know, to South Asia, your love and support is crossing continents, bringing hope to places you may never physically go yourself, but where your heart has already reached. And that's the power of compassion. That's the power of your yes to compassion. The next slide. So most of the children that you sponsor, they live in rural, you know, hilly areas where homes are built with mud, clay. But thanks to your support, hope is reaching them right where they are. The next slide, please. So this is a graduation story. This is what sponsorship leads to. Ronnie's life was changed, and now he has hope and he has a purpose because someone chose to invest in his future. Thank you, media. Next, I'm going to share a story with you, and it's a short video about Richmond, who is a young man whose life was completely transformed through Compassion Sponsorship Program. Can we have the video of Richmond?
My name is Richmond Wandera. I come from a country called Uganda. My mother was a very loving mother. My father was a very hard worker. But unfortunately, when he was murdered, everything changed for us dramatically. We ended up in a slum called Naguru, which is Uganda's worst slum. Naguru was dubbed the forgotten community. And life on the street was extremely difficult. The things I did to survive. Poverty robs children of the dignity of choice. I would have chosen school. I would have chosen food. I would have chosen health. When this Compassion staff member came to our home and told my mom that Richmond has got a sponsor, the amount of dancing that filled our home was beyond description. My sponsor began to write to me, and I felt known, I felt connected. They basically helped me become a child again. My pastor invited me to be part of the pastoral leadership, and I established the Pastor's Discipleship Network. And so the Pastor's Discipleship Network exists to train and equip African pastors. Right now, we celebrate God for 6,000 churches that have sent their pastors to be a part of our program. So what started as one decision to sponsor one young African boy has ended up not just changing the boy's family, but the boy's church and the boy's community. It's the best possible investment a person could ever make. The children that we see today will be around long after we are gone. And to invest in them, I can't think of any better investment. And so anyone who is thinking about sponsoring a child, do it. Do that. Because you're investing in tomorrow.
Incredible testimony, right? Yeah, Richmond was once a child who had no hope. He lost his father at a very young age. He begged on the streets of Uganda for food, and he believed that it didn't matter. He believed that no one even cared to know his name. Can you imagine that for a moment, if actually no one cared to know your name? When Reverend Paul called me, he called me by my name. I mean, that means I'm being recognized. But can you just think about nobody just caring to know about who you are? But one thing is that there is a Father in heaven who knows all of our names, who planned all our days before even the beginning of our time. Richmond's story usually reminds me of what God says in Jeremiah 29:11. The Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you." You know, it declares the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Just imagine being a part of God's plan to give hope to a child. Like Richmond said, one heart of kindness just changes everything. His sponsorship actually came from a 15-year-old girl who decided to make a difference just by saving up, you know. And today, Richmond is no longer a child that is begging on the streets. He now runs a ministry that equips pastors across Africa. Can you imagine just one act of obedience? And now he's transforming entire communities for Christ. I usually tell people that our lives is like a book. And, you know, it is filled with different chapters. Some might be joyful, some might be challenging, and some are life-changing. And do you know what? God places people in our lives to help us write a new chapter for us. And I always say when you sponsor a child, you are becoming a chapter in their life. Because that's like a book. That sponsor that you do is a chapter in the life of that child. Let's take David, for example, again. I just love talking about David. I don't know why. And he was a young boy, you know, like we said, unnoticed, out in the fields. But God sent someone into his life who would become a chapter that changed everything. And that was Samuel. Samuel anointed David as king. He didn't come to raise him. He didn't grow up with him. But just that one moment, one act of obedience became the beginning of David's kingship. Samuel obeyed. And because of that one act of obedience, a young boy's life changed forever. That one moment became the beginning of David's destiny. So, you know, in the same way, when you decide to sponsor a child, you may not walk with them every day, but what you do is that you become a chapter in their story. A chapter of hope, a chapter of purpose, a chapter of love. And God uses that to write something new in their life. We know that all blessings come from God. But those blessings are delivered through people. They are delivered through you. They are delivered through me. And God uses men like yourselves, myself, to be channels of miracles for people. And when we pray to God, we all have something, you know, we pray to God for. And what he does is that he sends someone as an answer. We often call them, as say some of us call them, destiny helpers. And, you know, a helper, it might be a helper, it might be a sponsor. It might be a connection. It might be a friend that might just tell you the solution to what you're looking for. Even if it is health issue, it might just be the best GP giving you, you know, the best solution. That's still God sending help. That's God sending a helper your way. So that is the same way a child that is in poverty in one country is praying for a breakthrough and is praying for a miracle somewhere. And God wants to use, you know, us to answer. And our obedience usually becomes the answer to someone else's prayer. So the reality is that millions of children, you know, they still live in extreme poverty. One less is usually less than £1.75 a day. They don't have access to welfare, they don't have access to universal credits, they don't have access to education, to clean water. Many don't even know where their next meal is going to come from. So you may be here today, just like, you know, we said earlier on, you can even support them with your prayers. And if God has placed it in your heart to be a chapter in someone's story, are you going to say yes to that call? Sponsorship and compassion is £32 a month. And for us, that's just over £1 a day. What it does, like we saw, it provides their education, it provides their nutrition, it provides their health care, emotional and spiritual support. I want us to know that we are not just meeting their practical needs. You are restoring hope and identity to these children. And for a child, that is priceless. You know times might be challenging, and £32 a month is actually a lot of commitment. But you don't have to do it alone. You can actually partner with someone else and sponsor a child together, you know, by splitting the cost. Today, I've brought 5 profiles of children with me who are still waiting for sponsor. And I want us to know that every act of generosity is a miracle in the life of a child that is sponsoring. When we give to the poor, we are not just giving to them, we are giving to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. If you look at the first Bible reading in Isaiah 61:1-4, you know, the Bible is a powerful reminder of our responsibility to care for those who cannot care for themselves. It reminds us of the importance of doing good, seeking justice all the time, and standing up for the vulnerable. This speaks of what compassion is doing across the world, where we have the opportunity to help bring hope and justice to children in need. And anytime I read this Bible verse, all I remember is I just think about these children, like these children's lives, and you know what being released from poverty actually means to them. I think it's a beautiful scripture. And it's just a beautiful picture of what God's heart says for them. And, you know, as kingdom people that we are designed and we are called to serve and love others. I usually call us heavenly ambassadors. That's what we are. When we speak up for children in poverty, when we act in love and compassion, we align ourselves with God's own heart. Before I close, I just want to share something very personal with you. Earlier this week, when Reverend Paul sent me a message about what song or what Bible verse will I want to use, I almost sent him a message that, look, I have to postpone this. That on Friday, I already wrote to Compassion, not this Friday, that was the earlier Friday, that I might not be able to go ahead to speak for this speaking engagement. I was overwhelmed. I was facing a lot of challenges, personal challenges, and I felt that I just couldn't carry it all. Then on Monday, his message came. After I'd prayed on Sunday night, I said, God, look, I can't do this. I just can't go. But if you really want me to go, then you have to give me a sign. And the first thing on Monday morning, his message came. I was like, okay, God, is this a sign that you want me to go ahead? And when he sent me the email, I had a Bible passage and a song in my, you know, heart already. 4 minutes later, after his message came in, then the message came from Compassion, because you remember I'd already sent them a message on Friday saying I was going to postpone. And a message came from them and said that, oh, okay, we're going to tell Reverend Paul we're going to postpone this, and don't worry, this is too much for you. And then the Holy Spirit said to me that, are you going to cancel this just because of your own personal challenges? And at that point, I'm like, you don't know who is going to get sponsor, you come in here. But that means you are postponing the destiny of the life of a child. The postponement might be to December, it might be to another time, and you're waiting. And I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, probably if Samuel had delayed when God said, go and anoint David. And you know, he said, but why will I go? And God said, go. So I'm just trying to say that is the act of obedience. I also sponsor two children, one from Kenya and one from Ghana. And I was sitting in the congregation when the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do this. And I struggled and I said, no, I'm not going to sponsor. This is not for me. This is not the best time. This is not. But I'm just trying to say that our acts of obedience is actually a miracle in the life of a child somewhere else. So my standing here today, I believe, God gave me the strength, despite everything, that you just have to come. And when I say go, I'll go ahead of you. And that moment stayed with me. It made me pause, you know. Because of the very message I had prepared, and the one I'm sharing with you today, is about obedience. It's not about delaying when God calls us. I talked about how Samuel didn't hesitate when God called him to anoint David already. If he had done that, David's journey would have been delayed. So, I know that I'm not here by my own strength, but in God's. Because someone's destiny may begin today. A child's life may change today through you. A child might find hope because someone decided to say yes in church today. So if God is laying it in your heart to sponsor a child this morning, please don't delay. There is never a perfect time for us. I want to plead that we should yield to that call and help release a child from poverty. And you know, as we sing the song together, Great is Thy Faithfulness, I want us to be reminded that in every of our delays, in every of our doubts, in every of our daily struggles, God remains faithful and His mercy meets us every morning. So church, how many more of Richmond are out there waiting for a chance to step into a future of hope and purpose? At the end of the service, I'll be at the back there, you know, with those profiles. And if God has laid it in your heart to sponsor, please come speak with me at the end of the service. And let us transform a life together at a time. Thank you very much, church. Thank you.